This episode is brought to you by Holy Stone Distilling, Utah's luxury, award-winning distillery, open for tours and tastings 21 years and older. Holy Stone's Perla Vodka is Utah's first grape-based vodka, which is too good to be true. Their Bozen Navy String Gin will blow your palate. It's the strongest gin in Utah, yet it's the most flavorful and extremely gentle on the palate. Holy Stone also makes Utah's first legal absinthe. Every time we share this absinthe to our friends, the look of joy on their face is priceless. These three items are located in both Utah liquor stores and within the walls of their distillery. Holy Stone also has the most beautiful, eye-catching purple Cerulea Gin, which some of the proceeds go to supporting breast cancer research. But let's not forget their Tsunami Sochu, which is made from koji, rice, and barley. This is the greatest compliment in any cocktail. Head to Holy Stone and Murray or hit them up on any social media platforms. Tell them we sent you and keep supporting local by buying local. Until the next spirits, my friends. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, guys, super fun episode today in the heart brew house of Hopkins Brewing with one of my dear friends, Steven. Steven, what's up, homie?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing well, dude. So I think I met you like a year ago at the homebrew shop.
Yeah, Salt
always,
City.
Always helping us out. And then all of a sudden, you've been working at Bewilder for who knows how long. Have you been working at Bewilder?
Just over a year now.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then I feel like every time at Bewilder, you're doing something crazy. Either cleaning lines, transferring, knocking out, moving kegs, canning. Like you're doing everything, man.
Yeah,
you're a workhorse.
Yeah, we're it's a small crew. You know, it's pretty much Cody and I in production, and it's a lot of work. But you know, we're not in, you know, grocery stores across the country, but our beer's out there. It's, you know, we're hustling.
You guys are.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, do you have straight out of the gate, do you have any like days off, dude? You take days off?
Yeah. Yeah. I work a Monday through Friday. I respect, the people in the industry who, you know, they have a stake in the company, but to me, it's something I value is, you know, time off, and I can leave work and kind of check out.
Gotcha.
You know, some people, they don't have that beauty, but you know, I really enjoy being able to just go home and leave work at work. Gotcha. You know, there's the days where I roll around in bed thinking like, that hot liquor's overflowing. It's gonna be a flood in there, and I might go back in or something.
The BRV fails.
I always say if I designed a brewery, I would have like a camera on every critical point,
so you can look at it on your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like even like the hoses or like any valves, like any gas, any C clamps, like and make sure it's a tight.
Yeah,
I need that camera, y'all. I'm right, dude.
I know.
Just like a brewery drone. Come in, like just kind of analyze everything for you, because I feel like I remember one time I'm like, did I leave the pressure on?
Yep.
Oh shit. Oh,
and if you don't live like right to the brewery, or like somebody does,
I kind of think about it, and I've had to call managers and be like, "Hey, can you check?" And there's times that I've left.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, why is the CO2 alarm going off? Well, thank God for alarms, because if not, we'd be blown up.
Yeah. But no, I mostly am getting a good night's rest because I'm not thinking about that. Yeah. So yeah.
Good. Because it's important to separate, you know, work and family and social life and personal life. I get that, and you're doing that, and that's awesome. I'm glad, dude, because like I said, whenever I see you, you're just running around like a madman. And when you clock out, I just see you gone, like you're out.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that I'll hang out for a shifty after work, not because I don't want to socialize or, you know, it's just like some days you just got to go and recharge and, you know, hop in that bath and come back the next day. But
I like that, dude.
Yeah.
So then, Steven, let's get to know the nitty gritty about Steven.
All right.
So tell me your story, dude. Where are you from? Bring me to baby Steven all the way till Salt City.
Sure. I was born into a family of 300 on the set of Survivor Borneo season 12. No, that's not it. I'm an Ohio boy.
Really?
The Borneo of the Midwest. But I'm from Columbus.
Cool.
I've been in Utah about a year now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. My wife and I moved out here kind of mid-pandemic.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Pretty, like, a good time to move now that we think about it. But I was working at a brewery in Columbus.
Where at? What's it called?
It's called the Brew Brothers at Scioto Downs. And it's it's a cool place. It's inside of a horse track casino. And then there's this brew pub in the middle, and it's in a glass cube, and it's
that's really cool.
Yeah, so it's a pretty bizarre place, but you know, we were shut down for about 3 months, like the state order. So the casinos closed its doors, and I was at home thinking, you know, let's use this opportunity to, you know, get out, and packed up and
really
moved out to Utah.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that, dude. Yeah. So you're married, obviously.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
That's a great question. I'd say 3 or 4 years.
Okay. And then what does she do?
She's a graphic.
What's her name?
Her name's Sadie.
Sadie, I love. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's a graphic designer.
She's a graphic designer.
So she can go basically get a job anywhere.
She was working remote for an ice cream company and brought that out to Utah, since took another job. But
is she an Ohio native as well?
No, she's from upstate New York.
Oh, wow. Where'd you guys meet?
We met in Alaska.
What? Everywhere now. Okay, what were you doing in Alaska? Tell me the story, dude.
Sure, yeah. So we met in Alaska. We were doing seasonal work. And up until I was brewing, basically, you know, we would hop around. We'd live in a city for a year, pick up and move, and do different jobs. In Alaska, I was leading bike tours. And she was a park ranger. And, you know, this town we lived in, Skagway, there was probably 100 maybe people who lived there. And then it's a cruise ship town. So every day, you know, you get 4,000 to 8,000 people coming off these ships. And then they leave at night. And it's just the townspeople. But
what the hell?
Yeah.
No
so
way.
That
Alaska.
Close community, you know, there's like a bike shop, there's the park rangers. We're bound to meet up. And
do you ever go back?
No. I was just daydreaming. A week ago, about like maybe like our anniversary 1 year,
that'd be really cool, dude. Yeah. So then you guys after Alaska went to Ohio?
No, we basically decided we wanted to be with each other after Alaska in that summer, and we moved to Santa Fe just on a whim. We lived there for a couple years, moved up to Fort Collins.
Jesus, look at you, just going everywhere.
Yeah, and then, you know, she wanted to get back into the Park Service, so we moved up to the Tetons, lived in Jackson.
Oh, beautiful. So she got good taste.
Yeah. After that summer, we moved back to Santa Fe because, New Mexico is great.
Yeah,
I don't know if you spent time there.
I've been in Albuquerque, and I tell my wife I want to move there because no one's there. Like, I want to go there.
It's so fun.
That's my little secret.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, we lived in Santa Fe both times, and I could sense everybody kind of making a move down there, like people from Boulder, because it's a similar like mountain town, and there's just not a lot of people there yet, but it's becoming popular.
It's
going to
be expensive. A secret that everyone's going to know about here soon.
Yeah. So anyways, we moved back to Santa Fe for the second time, thought we never would, loved it, but decided to move back to the Midwest and Ohio. And, you know, at the time I was really stoked to, you know, live in my hometown again. And, you know, we had been out west for so long, got used to living in the mountains and hiking around, and we get to Ohio and it's like, ooh, this ain't it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a great city.
Sure.
You know, family and friends are there, but there's no mountains. It's gray. It doesn't have the things that the West has that we've gone to love. So
gotcha.
It was short-lived. I think we were there for maybe 3-4 years, and then the pandemic happened, and you know, we decided this time we moved back out west.
Why Utah?
I don't know. You know, it's like kind of the only state we hadn't done, because we did Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, and we love the Rockies, and Utah was almost next on that list. But you know, I moved out here for a job at Uinta, and that's what kind of got us to move out here.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I took a job at Uinta and was there for about 3-4 months maybe, and you know, no hard feelings, but it wasn't for me, and I don't think the job was really what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So you know, I left and didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I was burnt out on brewing or what, but at the time I was like, I just got to do something else. And basically a day later, I was going in to buy ingredients at Salt City and saw that, you know, they needed a little help there. And so I said, sure, why not? I don't have anything else going on. Let's, you know, help out there. So I met up with Cody that day and he said, hey, this is cool. You know, we own this homebrew store, opened up this brewery. How about you just kind of split your days? And, you know, so, you know, work down at the store mostly and, you know, 1 or 2 days a week at the brewery and kind of fill in your, you know, 40 hours that way. And I did that for a couple, you know, months and then transitioned to just full time at the brewery after that.
No way. So then, not to cut you off, but back up, what got you into brewing? How'd you get into beer making? Why beer?
I've been home brewing for probably 12 years now. I love it. I still do it. Even after, you know, a 60-hour week at the brewery, on the weekends, I gotta have beer at home. And so I love home brewing. It's different enough that it keeps it exciting.
Gotcha.
So, you know, growing up, my mom was making wine at home, and I was always around kind of, you know, the process. She never made beer, but
sure, wine. The fermentation process.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I decided to try and make a beer. And so that was always exciting to me. But in those years where my wife and I were traveling around, I eventually, in New Mexico, was a beer buyer for Whole Foods down there. And that was kind of my first, I'd say, job in the industry, you know, meeting people and just working around beer. And it was a great gig, really good company. It was in the like before Amazon days of Whole Foods, so completely different culture what I imagine is now. But
I bet.
But yeah, so that was the first gig. When we moved back to Ohio, I took a job with a startup brewery as a sales rep for them.
Okay,
and it was pretty cool at first, but completely hated it after like a year and said, nope, sales ain't it. Like,
really?
You know, I really want to be in production. And just started looking around and then finally met up with Ryan from the casino, Brew
from
Brothers.
Brew Brothers.
Yep, yep. And he was looking for an assistant brewer. And I just like convinced him, like, hey, look, I don't know anything about production brewing, but you need to hire me. This is what I want to do. And it just hit, and he, you know, he took me on, and I basically learned everything about working in a production space on the job from him. And you know, it's a similar, we're a 10-barrel brewery, and two of us, just like, you know, we are bewildered, basically.
And you and Cody, wow.
Yeah, so, holy you know, smokes. I was able to kind of shadow this guy who I really respect, and, you know, he was, he just taught me everything, and he's still there winning medals. Finally, you know, this brewery is so cool. If you're ever in Ohio, it's not, it's not the coolest place. I don't think people really think that the beers are great, but they're fantastic.
Like a hole in the wall kind of thing.
Yeah. They're judged by, I think, the environment, you know, it's not a cool hip craft brewery, even though it is, because it's in this, you know, casino owned by Caesars. But you know, the beers are great. This past year they finally won a GABF medal and then went on to win the first place Alpha King Challenge for best IPA in the country.
Wow.
And now I think that finally puts them on the map. Like, hey, look, this is,
they're flexing and they're fun. Business.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's funny because that, I mean, we could talk about it later, but I hate like Untappd and Beer Advocate reviews.
Of course.
Even though I'm guilty of like, if I'm shopping for beer, I might look it up. But I love that this beer that won the Alpha King Challenge, this Big Dog IPA, number one in the country, has like a 1.5 on Untappd.
Oh, you know, goodness.
And it's just like, I think people rate it because it's the,
because Untappd's the Yelp of the beer world, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
People just want to go shit talk. Like, there's no ramification for shit talking. Like, I can say whatever with no filter and I will never get in trouble. And that's just not fair.
Right.
Like, come on. I hate the trolls and the bullying.
One of my favorite things to do, which is like a terrible thing. I don't know if you do this, but like, I'll be on the brew deck looking at people at the bar, like, drinking a beer. You know, see what they're drinking, like, if they're having a good time. And if they ever had, like, they're Untappd up, I might, like, walk by and, like, you know, see what's
really?
Up.
Yeah,
just make them feel, like, a little awkward. Like, oh, cool, what you doing there? Like, nice.
Oh, you're judging my beer. Oh, gotcha.
Oh, sweet, yeah. Oh, one bottle cap?
Why?
Oh, nice, yeah.
No, but I should do that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Steven, so you brought today beers for us.
So I was tasked, I don't know if this, you know, is on the regular, but tasked to bring a couple beers that changed my life.
Yes, that's what I want to know. Via beer, what changed Stephen's life?
Yeah, So this is a, you know, this is pretty tough thing because drink a lot of beer, pretty passionate about a lot of different beers.
You've had it across the country. Like, you're not just Utah beer.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So
how's Alaskan beer, by the way?
Oh, really good. We had there's a brewery in our town, Skagway, Skagway Brewing Company.
Huh.
And, you know, they've since grown and gotten a lot bigger, but, so their big thing was like spruce beers. Cause there's
Sitka
spruce
right?
everywhere. And I think spruce is a delicious ingredient in beer. I wouldn't say theirs was the best iteration of it, but, yeah, Alaskan beer is great. I mean, Anchorage, killer, Alaskan Brewing Company, great. Yeah.
Damn.
There's good beer up there. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so beers, you got beers.
Yeah.
So which one's the first one, brother?
Sure.
Oh my gosh, Steven. I can't believe this right now. Nah. I'm so giddy right now.
I'm gonna blow your mind. I don't know if you ever seen this right here. This is
I hope it's a Bud Light.
This is a one of a kind. No, this is if somebody asked me like what's your favorite beer, this is what I always tell people. This is a beer that I kind of like. I didn't grow up drinking because in Ohio this beer wasn't available then there.
Okay.
But when I moved out to Colorado after college, and was working in radio, this is the beer. You know, I'd go out drinking. And it evokes a lot of special memories for me. You know, when I drink this beer, I'm like playing karaoke at the bar down the street, you know, after close or something like that.
I like that.
But this right here, this is Dale's Pale Ale.
The OG.
Yeah, I know, like, I feel like I talked to a lot of brewers who, like, kind of shit on this beer, but I think it's great. Yes, there's a ton of crystal malt in it. Yes, it's old school, but... hey, you know, so Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, mm-hmm. and that beer is great, and people love it. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is the less cool younger cousin. It's a little bit bigger, a little bolder, but to me, this is my Sierra
Nevada.
Dude,
I want to drink the good old Stevens.
Yeah,
Stevens Dale.
You know, I think like you know, you should come back to these like these beers that
sure, brother.
You might have drank a ton of back in the day, and like these flagships that. Don't get a whole lot of love, but
cheers, homie.
They're refreshing and good.
Man. See, this is I just finished mowing the lawn beer.
Great.
I want something just a little bit of bitterness. I want to lean back, put my feet up, mm-hmm. take off my Reeboks that have been grass stained.
Yes.
And just chill, dude.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's not trying too hard, you know.
No, it's a beer.
Yeah.
Just a beer.
To me, like, beer has to be drinkable by the, you know, ton. Like, you got to, like, never get tired of that beer. And a lot of the styles that are out right now, I don't have that feeling towards. Mm. Like, you know, I could drink a hazy IPA and really enjoy it, but I'm not ever asking for another pint after I drink that. You know, my palate doesn't want to keep chugging those, but right. A beer like this, it's refreshing and I want a second one.
I like that.
So those,
it's crushable.
Yeah. Right.
You want to keep going for that second glass. I like that.
Exactly.
It's like for me, it's Pacifico. Nice. That's my, you're going to open my fridge and there's not a Pacifico in there. Either I'm going through something or, but Pacifico is that one that it's always consistent. It's just my beer. Right. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I understand this, but it's cool. Cause you can get Oscar Blues across the country now.
Right.
And I mean, that's really cool.
I think that is, you know, like big breweries like that, you know, they might not be as cool to the kids these days, but that consistency countrywide is amazing. And it's the coolest thing about, you know, like AB for me, like those beers are the same no matter where you go.
I
can't say the same about, you know, the Dales being brewed on the East Coast and West Coast, but it'd be fun to try the two.
Cool.
And I'm sure they compare them, but yeah, I love that.
But I was thinking about this the other day. Where was I? It was yesterday or Thursday when I was brewing. And I'm like, I think this idea of perfection is sometimes a far-fetched, you know, I don't know if – because I was brewing the same beer I've brewed dozens of times, you know, our American wheat. And I can brew that beer really well. I can follow the recipe really well. How's that? And Derek's taught me this thing where whatever beer I brew, I like to go after my shift, when it's done, it's all in the fermenter. It's, you know, the glycol's on, we're all good to go. I will go grab whatever I brewed that day that's already on tap, drink it to remind me like how it aged or how it's holding up or like what's going on. So I'm like, okay, you know, But I always see differences, right? And trying to make that the beer the same every single time, that consistency is tough, dude.
Yeah.
I don't care if you follow the recipe over and over, something happens.
Right.
So to see stuff like this be consistent, I'm like, good for you. Like, go ahead and shit on them, but it's the same beer. Because you know when you grab this can, it's going to taste the same way. You grab that Bud Light can, the Michelob, like, whatever, it's the same thing.
And I wish I could say that, like, about the beers I make, you know, Monday through Friday. Like, I try to make every batch of Kolsch the same. But, oh, no, they're, even if we're not tweaking anything, it's really hard to nail it.
I mean, and, the hops, the yeast, anything. Right, the water,
there's so
that
many
day.
Variables.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. And even, like, batches of, you know, like, hops or grain. We're not we're not spot buying, like, or we're not, you know, contracting.
Yeah.
We're not getting the same exact stuff every time.
Yeah, and different crop, different year. Like, time. I mean, yeah. So that's something I, like, I take for granted, and I think the general public takes for granted.
Yeah.
Like, like craft beer, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but if I can make my, like, because when you have our flagship beer, whenever I go get a Kolsch at Bewilder, I better fucking taste that same Kolsch every time.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to make it every time, it's just like, man.
It's tough.
Yeah. Yep. No, but Steven, so going into your homebrew life, did you ever win any accolades or any type of awards? Did you ever enter into competitions?
I never have.
Really?
Not that I'm, I don't think scared to do that or like to see what would happen, but it's never been for me. I don't think I need that kind of extra like praise. The beers I make at home, I love just making for me, my wife, and my friends.
So she drinks then?
She does.
Does she enjoy beer?
Yeah.
What's her favorite beer?
Her favorite beer is Lindeman's Frambois, that raspberry lambic beer.
Yeah. This is a low percentage too, right?
Yeah, back sweetened. I think they use stevia now or something. That's her beer.
I like that.
It's the same thing about like I've been asked to judge beers a lot. You know, homebrew.
No, you don't want to.
I don't. It's not for me. I think it's really cool and important for a lot of people to get that feedback. And to me, I can get that feedback from family and friends who I trust or people who I know have a good palate. I just like drinking beer and making it and, you know, having that.
Man, you got that awesome spirit, Steven. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And I love that.
But maybe one day we'll see if I want to put a beer out there.
Okay, what's a style of beer you've made, homebrew, that you love? Like, I love this beer I make.
I mostly make lagers and hoppy beers at home.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. I like to have one of each on tap. I got a little 3-tap Keyser. One of them's always seltzer water. So the other two are beers. But yeah, it's got to be a lager and something hoppy on the other side.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
So what kind of hoppy? Are we doing like a hoppy lager? Are we doing a hoppy pale? IPA? What kind of?
I mean, I switch it up. Right now I got like a, I don't know if you want to call it like a West Coast haze, like a, you know, this is like a hazy profile, but it's like crystal clear and bitter. I want that like juicy, you know, super aromatic. I open that can across the bar, somebody knows that, like they can smell it.
Gotcha.
And but something that has, you know, a firm bitterness and definitely a water profile, more like a West Coast, but malt bill more like a hazy.
I like that a lot. And then you should do a hoppy seltzer.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Throw some lactose in it too.
Yeah, why not?
So then, no accolades there. Have you gotten any certifications like Cicerone, IBD? Do you have anything in the brewing world?
Yeah, no. I dream of going to maybe like a brewing school one day, but I kind of view it as a similar, like I would gain a lot out of it. And to me, if I were to expand my brewing career, I would maybe like to like transition to the lab side.
Oh, cool.
Do something more along the lines of that. And I could see myself wanting to go to school for that. My dad was a microbiologist, and I feel like that whole side of the things interests me a lot. But
I have someone to introduce you to. Used to work for Oscar Blues, now works at Proper. His name is John.
Nice.
And he's just pure lab guy.
Yeah.
And his knowledge is fascinating. I think it's microbiology was his background.
Nice, yeah.
And so I want to introduce you to him, dude.
Cool.
Guys, that'd be cool to learn
that. So, yeah, I would love to do that. If it were going to happen, it's got to be in Europe because I think, you know, my wife and I would want to move there anyway.
So how much longer are you going to be here then?
Oh, I don't know. Utah's great. We we had that hop around bug that is kind of phasing away. And
oh yeah,
we're trying to, you know, put some roots down.
Oh yeah, ever gonna any kiddos coming? Anything settling? You know,
we just got a doggy.
Yeah,
yeah, a little gravy bone. Hey, yeah, just turned a year. Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah,
he's kind of like a kid.
I like. Yeah, yeah. We just inherited two cats, and so it's like that. Our fur children is what my wife calls them.
Oh, yeah.
So I got the fur babies, right? And they are just as needy as I am. So it's all good.
Yeah.
I get that. So when it's coming to making beer, you have your pale ale, right? But what's another to go for you? What's another domestic to go beer?
Like? Yeah. I mean, if I'm like going out or whatever, it's gotta be High Life. Champagne and beers. So yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Just that tall, like ice cold, crystal clear bottle. Yeah, High Life's it.
Look at you. So, but how can someone that drinks quite a lot of beer, mm-hmm. right? You're so slender, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You are so slender.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm hopping up and down that brew deck all day. But
I know, because you're running around. Yeah. Yeah. I think about it. I'm like, I'm going up and down the stairs to the kettle, back down, to the kettle, back down. Yeah, you get your steps in, right?
I get my steps in. I don't know. I think I'm just made to look this way. You know, I don't. It's sometimes really tough in the brewery because, you know, as you know, like things are heavy. They're like,
yeah, dude,
dragging hoses. That stuff like gets you. Yeah, and that might be a part of the reason why I switched to lab one day. Like my body physically can't work the, you know,
it is laborious load. Right?
Yeah. So I think about that like the long term, like. Could I be a production brewer 10 years from now? I mean, maybe, but that's probably not the best thing for my body. But so the things I think about. But
And then how you have the most raddest mustache ever. You know what I mean? And like,
it's not real.
Oh, get out of here.
Get out. No, it's real.
He took it off.
It took 10 years to grow, so it's
you're
real.
You're keeping it, dude? I love it. It fits you really well.
Thanks.
And
yeah.
I think maybe I have mustache envy because I just grow it here, dude.
I mean, you can do it.
You know what I mean?
I don't know, dude. I like it. I don't even think about it. I think it, to me, it's, I just like, it always looks like this. I ain't gonna curl it. I'm gonna wax it. It kind of like seems pretentious if you go down that path. And that's something I hate is pretentiousness. Man. And so Just keep it natural.
Yeah, Steven, you're badass. Okay, so let's crack open one more beer before we go to break. So you brought another beer. So what beer did you bring today?
All right, I got two more. So one's kind of similar. We'll do that and then maybe do this other one after.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it. So while Steven's doing that, for those who don't know, go to Bewilder because Steven basically makes all the beer. Let's be real. Cody just takes credit. I love it. So then when it comes to your beer portfolio, before as you're going to break this open, is what's a style in homebrewing that you haven't made yet but you want to make?
Sure, yeah. So I, like I said, I'm mostly making lagers and hoppy beers, but it's all clean stuff. You know, I've done some sours, whether it's kettle sour, doing Philly sour, but I would like to have just a sour program at home and switch to only doing that. You know, my old head brewer at the casino, you know, he only made sour beer pretty much at home and had a barrel in his basement. I really respected that. And I think it's pretty cool because, you know, at Bewilder, we don't have that sour program yet.
Right.
You know, I'm making similar beers at home like I make at work. Which is fun, but to do something totally different would fulfill that gap.
Gotcha. That's cool.
So yeah, I would really like to start that someday. I have the space for it now.
Just do it, dude.
And yeah.
YOLO. So, just do it, man.
It's just a matter of, you know, switching to do that. I'm only doing 5 gallon batches though.
I'll come help you drink it, dude.
You know.
Let's go.
All right, yeah.
My wife likes beer.
There you go.
We'll both come over. So what's this beer you brought for us?
All right, so this is, we'll say this is Dale's bigger brother. You know, this is a beer also that is really nostalgic for me. It's a beer that when I also moved out west, to me, this was the most delicious thing I've ever tasted.
Really?
At the time. This is Odell IPA. And I think this beer has changed over the years. Like most beers, I'm sure Dale's has changed. You know, I don't think they probably would say what has, but yeah, I'm sure the hop schedule changed. I'm sure the hops in it has changed. But it's still delicious. It's a beer that's not hype at all, but I think this is one of the best straight up accessible IPAs on the market.
I like that, brother.
Yeah.
And look at that. That's pretty, dude. This is one of my favorite colors in beer, right here.
Yep.
Just like almost straw gold yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Gotta give a shout out. I don't know if my boy Kevin had a hand on this, but one of my good friends, Kevin, is a brewer at Odell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's really cool. Cause I
to
really
Kevin,
like, yeah, to Kevin. I love Odell. Yep.
See, I like that nose, man. Love that nose.
It's just classic. It's got that pine, that resin, citrus, but it's clean, it's bright.
See, another summertime crushable, like just give me a beer, let me crush a couple of these real quick, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep. Yep, I'm not going to get tired of that, ever.
I think I like this one better than the Dale's Pale.
Yeah.
I think so, because mm-hmm. it's less pale.
Yep.
Because to me, Pale Crystal's dusty.
For sure.
You know what I mean? But this is less dusty.
Yeah.
I like that. It's more crisp, more clean, sexy. That color.
Isn't that
nice?
Yeah.
I keep looking at it, dude. Yeah. I'm like staring at it. I'm just in love.
Yeah.
But if I can make something like this, I'd be like, I can make a beer.
But yeah, this is, you know, flagships all day, every day.
So, do you call yourself a brewer?
I do, yeah.
What makes you call yourself a brewer?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think brewer is an absolute perfect title. If I were to say, call myself like a master brewer or a head brewer, I don't know. Like, I think that falls into that pretentiousness that I don't really care for. And, you know, you can talk to Cody and he feels the same way. I think one of Cody Ross's like business card says like mop master, even though they own the place and like are running it, but they have that, you know, that trait where they don't want to make it feel like, you know, they're hot shit. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of myself the same way. Like,
gotcha.
Yes, brewing, cellaring, whatever it is, shaking the zom, but it's all, we're brewing. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So how long did it take you to comfortably call yourself like, you know what? Yeah, I am a brewer.
I don't know. I think as soon as I was working in a production brewery, it felt like that.
That's cool.
You know, even at home, you know, you're home brewing or whatever, you're brewing. Yeah. But in the production spot, like you're doing it. So yeah, I think I like that's what happened.
That's
yeah.
a good one. Favorite style of beer?
Ooh. Favorite style of beer is going to be West Coast IPA.
West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
Least favorite style of beer?
Oh, man. Pastry anything.
Pastry anything.
Look, I don't...
Dude, I've tried to like it too, yes.
Oh, no. So I'm allergic to milk. So yeah, any of them toast beers, they're going to do me under. No.
You're dead.
Yeah. So I don't mess with that. But they're also, I don't know. Not for me.
Not for you. Gotcha.
What about you? Least favorite.
Least favorite. Man, you know, I have a hard time with kettle sours because to me, the bugs taste like tomato juice.
Yeah.
And it tastes like stomach acid to me.
Okay.
I really have a hard time with kettle sours.
Yeah.
I'll try them. I'd rather do wild fermentation.
Yeah.
That's my, like, give me some lambic. Let's go that route, right? When it comes to kettle sours, I'm like,
Yeah, you got to be really careful. From, you know, we've made some that aren't as clean as others, and it's really easy to do. But I feel that.
That, and then I think when you said pastry stouts, like I wanted to like pastry stouts, but I always get soy sauce or it's over the top. What the hell is this? And so anything that's like ABV past like 11, I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry. I love you, but I can't.
Yeah, I don't want like a finishing gravity that's like higher than my like original gravity.
Right. So like, no, I want to be able to, like you said, I want to be able to crush beers and keep drinking them and share. Mm-hmm. But if I have to open something and I'm like, I can only have like 3 ounces of this, and it's not a beer for me.
No. Yeah, I feel you.
On that note, brother, we'll take a little break real quick, come back, and let's break open some more beers.
All right.
Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
This episode is brought to you by Syrup Co. Syrup Co. makes simple syrups for your cocktails, coffee drinks, sodas, and more. Nate and Jacob started Syrup Co. in 2020 as a way for people to create tasty drinks at home that are accessible and easy to make. They cook, bottle, and label every single bottle themselves right here in Salt Lake City. Try their new limited holiday syrup sampler featuring butter pecan, cranberry sauce, and candy cane. Hell yeah. No matter your favorite holiday drink, this sampler pack will not let you down. Find their syrup at a handful of local retailers or buy direct on their website and get free delivery in the Salt Lake Valley. Use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checkout for 15% off your order. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS for 15% off your order. Trust us when we say this is syrup you cannot miss out on. Until the next syrup, my friends. This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms.
All right, Steven. Round two, dude.
Back in the action.
Let's go. So, earlier you mentioned that you were in radio.
Yeah.
I need to know about this. So you had a job in radio?
Yeah. All right. So before, I got into brewing, went to school for music technology.
What do you, play an instrument?
Yeah, trombone.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Is that a tough instrument to play?
So when I first started, it's kind of tough to like really reach out, to hit them low notes in sixth position and all.
Okay.
But no, I don't know. It's not, I don't think it's the toughest. I think all instruments are probably equally.
Okay.
I don't know. I think bassoon and like oboe, those like double reeds, those are probably really tough.
Mm.
But yeah, love trombone, still play it. I went to school for music, music tech, and I wanted to be, recording artist or like a work in radio, which is what I ended up kind of deciding I wanted to do. So
yeah, you gotta tell me about this, dude.
Yeah.
I can see you being like a baseball broadcaster.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, do you like sports?
Yeah.
So could you do like, you commentate like football or baseball or basketball?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I feel like you got to know a lot about sports. And I think I could probably get there, but calling that play-by-play, ooh.
I think you'd like that.
I feel like you got to be like an auctioneer. Like, you're Something's spit-firing, really like, you know, oh. doing that. Like,
so when it came to radio, what kind of radio was it?
Yeah, so I worked at a radio station in Estes Park, Colorado. We were a classic rock station, the only one in the valley there. But it was a great place to live and work because, it's a beautiful place.
Right.
Rocky Mountain National Park right there. And, our radio station was the only one in the park. But yeah, so I worked for KRBR 1460 The Bear. And I was like screaming Angle Stangle in the mornings. I had a noon radio show.
Angle Stangle?
Yeah, screaming Angle Stangle. And yes! Man, it was ridiculous. I don't know why they let me like be the broadcaster. But yeah, why first not? Gig out of college.
You love it?
And I loved it. Yeah.
Is this something going back to you ever?
I don't think so. I don't know. I love radio. Like I still I'll listen to the jazz games like on radio because I love that I love that action. But I don't know. As far as like being a DJ again, maybe not. But I still play music all the time.
Hell yeah. Does the Sadie play at all?
Yeah, she's a flute. Man. She's really good too. Yeah.
I was talking about how I think it's very impressive to do that. I couldn't do that, dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah.
And but she still plays it?
Yeah. There ain't a whole lot of like flute trombone duets out there. So we got to like jam on our own. But yeah.
Oh, that'd
but
be really
we,
cool.
We get down. Yeah.
It's like my wife and I don't play. And she played something in high school, but she's never picked it up since. And I'm sitting here like, her and I don't jam ever. I would love to do that.
It's fun. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
I like that. So then you got radio. And then let's do, when you go, you said earlier that you leave work at work.
Yeah.
And I respect that. It's really cool. So then what kind of hobbies do you do besides home brewing?
I mean, yeah. So if I'm not brewing at home, I just love food projects, like no matter what.
Food projects.
Yeah. Oh, so cool. Do a lot of like food ferments, at home, making kimchi and kraut and whatever it is.
Really?
But always got a food project. Keep them away from my beers. I don't want that, cross contamination.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah. I do a lot of that. Got really into smoking meats and veggies within the last year. So, firing up the smoker, try on the regular.
What kind of smoker do you have?
I got the Pit Boss.
Pit Boss, huh? Yeah. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
You should start smoking like some malts or some ingredients to put in beer.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. I'd make sure my smoker's not the cleanest. So.
Gotcha. Hey.
But yeah, that would be really fun. But yeah, I just love cooking. And so always like on the weekends, we're doing like some wacky, like, you know, 3 hour long recipe, like, you know, doing
That's
something
really cool,
really fun. But I love food and try to do those fun things.
So yeah. Basically in the Engel home, is it like a party? Like, do you guys like throw some badass parties? I feel like you got the beer, you got the chef, you got the music, you got the DJ. Like,
yeah,
I feel like your parties get...
They're pretty fun.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
What does one have to do to get to one of these parties, dude?
Oh man, you just show up.
Just bring some beer, maybe some good food.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sounds bomb. I love it. So then favorite kind of food and beer pairing, speaking of food, because you're into food.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're into beer. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about which one of your either most memorable or most favorite, just like alcohol, food, and the marriage between the two.
Yeah. So I mean, you could probably tell from the couple beers I like brought earlier, I really like hoppy beers and, you know, beers with like a pretty firm malt backbone. But I love IPA and like spicy ass curry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that.
Thai curry? Are we going?
Sure. Whatever. Indian, Thai, whatever. But I love like spicy foods and hoppy beers. I think it just works. That like bitterness brings me back. And then, you know, I'll take like a bite of Szechuan, whatever. And just like, boom, 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 boom. It's like, you know, bite of this, drink of that. So yeah.
How do you explain that to someone who doesn't know alcohol or doesn't drink alcohol? How do you explain that pairing?
I would tell them that you need something that is, the flavors of the food have to work with what you're drinking. Like, you know, I'm not going to drink a pastry stout with curry, because I think that the chocolate or whatever that roast flavor isn't in this dish, but you could pick out similar flavor notes from the food that are in the beer and they work well. And it has to back it up. You know, you can't drink a beer that's going to weigh you down.
Yeah.
So,
damn.
Yeah. But I just think that spice and like hop character, they go hand in hand.
That's really cool. Yeah. I like that. I think spicy food and IPAs for sure.
Yeah.
Another one, I was trying to explain to my mother, who doesn't drink, she likes Dr. Pepper and buttered popcorn.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like,
that's great.
All right.
My go-to, which I haven't done in a long time, is like, whenever I get like takeout Chinese, dang, Mountain Dew, like that.
Yeah?
I don't know what it is. And I don't even drink like pop.
Yeah.
But
every once in a while, you just like a little craving for a little soda.
Yeah.
I think Holly and I, like once a year or so, we'll get like a movie theater soda and we'll just like, now we'll do it for it. Like, we're at Camel's. We don't have to drink that ever again, kind of thing, right? I get it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Bewilder,
mm-hmm.
Do you have a voice at Bewilder at all?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, you know, part of the reason why I am pretty content there. You know, Cody and Ross, they have a lot of faith in me and want ideas, you know, being brought to the table. So as far as like, you know, recipe development goes, you know, whether we just want to bring in a recipe and crank it out on the big batch, you know, we can do that. Or we did just get a pilot system, so there's going to be a lot more testing involved.
So we're taking Steven's homebrewing into Bewilder in a way?
Exactly.
Well, that's cool, dude.
Yeah, which is cool because, you know, I've been homebrewing a lot over the years and, you know, I'm pretty proud of, you know, some of these recipes. But to bring them in and scale them up and, you know, we'll tweak them. You know, I might bring it in and Cody says, no, we're not doing that much roast barley in this stout or something.
Sure.
So we, you know, meet halfway, but absolutely, like, you know, I feel like there are beers there that I really, that I call them mine.
So what's your, and this I'm segueing to another question. What's your favorite dessert?
I am a savory guy, but if I'm like, you know, if I got to get dessert or
give
something.
Give me sweets.
Yeah. It's got to be probably like a vegan ice cream.
Ice cream? So
yeah.
What if we do a strawberry ice cream flavored Kolsch?
I could be convinced.
We have to convince Cody,
though.
I
could see it.
So what if we do
an
Oreo Kolsch? Cookies and cream Kolsch?
Yeah,
Bro, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Imagine that. Imagine the Kolsch, how clean and is a slight malt background to the Kolsch, right? And then you have a little bit of cookies and cream sweet flavor. Not like sugary sweet, but like kind of like... almost, you know what I'm getting at?
Uh-huh.
So we can go
I could see
ice
this.
Cream, right? We can do like whatever your flavor. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Oh man, probably strawberry.
See, so strawberry, yeah. So like a strawberry and cream Kolsch.
Yeah.
Without the toast in it, but yeah. It still has that flavor. Like,
oh my gosh. And there's like so many hops that are like strawberry forward, so we can do
Let's
it.
Let's do it, dude. Let's well, you got a test batch, so we'll fuck with it there.
One of my favorite homebrews was a strawberry coffee Berliner Weiss. And
oh wow.
I, you know, on paper, like that sounds disgusting, but
how'd the coffee come through? Was it astringent at all? Yeah.
No, it was great because I did like a natural processed Ethiopia, and those flavors to me were, it was like strawberry jam to begin with.
No way.
And then, you know, you paired it with puree. And then, you know, I think I did like melon and maybe cashmere, like these really Belmos really cool. in there and like strawberry pop and hops. And yeah, it worked. That's dope, yeah.
Dude. So speaking of which, you brought some coffee for me.
Yeah.
And it's a Tastemasters blend, dude.
Man, this is custom.
Dude, I know. And I'm honored. Thank you, man. And
oh, yeah.
I love coffee, by the way.
Oh, good. Right, I never know. Sometimes I give coffee to people and they're like, oh, thanks. And I could tell like they could care less about it.
I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, wait, what a second. I thought, is it hops? I'm like, no, it's not cold. It's like a coffee bag. But tell me about this, dude.
Yeah.
It's got the logo and everything, man.
Oh, you know, try it. I love roasting coffee at home. I've been doing it a long time. Started out in like a Whirly Pop. It's you know, like popcorn popper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was pretty cool. But since transitioned and I've had like a bunch of versions of that and now have like a gas powered drum roaster in the garage. And
no way.
Yeah. And I like go all in on it. So, yeah, back in Ohio, when I got kind of burnt out in between that that sales gig I had and then the casino brewery, I started a coffee roaster, and me and my buddy, we Baca Coffee existed for a couple years. We had, you know, beans on the shelf. Our thing was cold brew, so we put cold brew in a pouch, like a wine box, you know, and you know, grocery store shelves and all the whole deal. And it was fun, but moved out west and none of that, you know, couldn't take that with us. So
is it still thriving over there? Is it done?
Like, no, we shut it down. Yeah.
No way.
Shut down, but I still have all the gear. And so
does Cody know about this?
Yeah.
So are we going to see like a Steven coffee, beer coming out?
Oh, I think we could. Yeah. We've got a couple coffee partners that we work with and, you know, I think I'd throw myself in the mix.
I would love that, dude. Cause I feel like it'd be more special having your product, something that you've done, because you're a man of many talents.
I like to think so.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
And then you probably name it like some musical instrument or some radio, you know, something.
Uh-huh.
I love that, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you got to let me know what you think.
I will.
That's a, nobody else got that blend but you.
Man, you got me. I don't want to drink it. I don't want to eat it now. Drink it. I don't want to blend it. I don't want to even grind it. Like,
yeah.
I'll let you know, dude.
Coffee and beer is great.
I love it, dude. I really do.
It's really fun.
We're making a porter with some coffee in it. I'm excited to do that.
Nice.
It's just like, dark. For me, even if I just smell coffee in the morning, that's enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like my cup of coffee. You know, for me, it's not like I need it or else I'm dying. I'm going to hate. I like it just because for me, it's just that routine. I like getting up, you know, feeding
the
cats,
ritual.
You know, gym,
uh-huh.
coffee, read my book, do my studies, off the rest. You know, my day has started in the right direction.
There you go.
You know, and so thank you. I'll let you know, Steven.
Oh, yeah.
I got you.
Be honest.
I will.
It's like sharing a homebrew with somebody. You know they're going to say it's great, even though.
It's the best coffee in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's really hard to give beers that I've made to some friends who aren't brewers or are in the brewing industry or distillers or anything fermentation because they don't want to disappoint me and they just say, oh, this is awesome. It's the greatest thing ever.
But they're not going
to. Nah. So
they're not going to tell you if there is something off.
When I first made – I did a collaboration cider with Joel over at Mountain West. And when it first came out, it was awesome. It had mango and chilies in it. It was awesome. I liked it. But I had it 6 months later and the spice is out the ass and there's no apple character. Like not – because I feel like for ciders, which I learned about is cider, apple should be the main – star of the show.
Yeah.
So now my cider that's been aging is now like, nope, sorry, homie. I feel bad. But when I give it to some people who don't have a great palate, if you will, like it's the best cider ever. I'm like,
okay.
It's not, dude.
Yeah.
It's
Thanks
not.
For being
I'm
nice.
Sorry. Yeah. I love you. So, voice at Bewilder. Favorite Bewilder beer right now?
Oh, man. We've got this pretty rad kind of like French Italian pills right now.
The and Vitruvian,
you've had,
right?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's really good. It's probably my favorite beer we've made there.
Oh, wow.
I think it's really good.
Bold statement, homie.
Yeah. It used to be another beer, the Dip Hop series. I don't know if you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was kind of my baby. And I want to go further down that path.
Do it, man.
I think that's a technique that is, it's just like it should be a bigger thing than.
So for those who don't know, explain that real quick.
So Dip Hop, I'm not the creator of it. You know, I wish I was, but a couple breweries do it out in the Pacific Northwest, Gigantic being one of them. I think I would call them the creators. But it's a really cool process where basically you take all your Whirlpool Edition and you throw it into the fermenter you're going to cast out into with hot liquor. And the idea is that you can get that Whirlpool charge to steep for up to an hour. And, you know, essentially when we were Whirlpooling in the tank, it's in there for about 15 minutes. And we would like to keep it longer to extract more of that flavor.
Right.
But there's problems that happen if you keep that hot wort hot for that long, you know, at the end of the boil. So this idea is you go into a purged fermenter that you're going to go into eventually, you know, with the wort. And those hops sit in there for an hour at, we go 180 degrees and then we'll cast out into it. So now you're not only getting that, you know, hour of whirlpool, but then you're going to get the biotransformation from that wort that then goes into that tank. The flavor like compounds are out of control. The aroma pops. Like, you know, the other thing too, is that tank's sealed up. And I think it retains some of that versus a hot kettle with, you know, the lid cracked.
An open lid. Yeah.
I love the idea. We've only done this beer twice, but I want to do it with like
different hops,
different styles. I think it's, you know, prime for hazies or anything you want really cool. to pop. But, yeah. So French Italian Pils, Dip Hop series. You know, we've got a couple small batches going. We recently got a pilot system and, we're freaking stoked to get that thing rolling. The first two are in the tanks. We've got a maple, oatmeal stout and then a New Zealand Saison.
Dude, so, I'm excited for that one, dude. Yeah. Is that your baby?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, I think wit beer and like hoppy Saisons are the new hazy IPA.
Really?
I mean, I think that the base, like the malt bills are pretty similar usually. And if you, you know, have like a new school, you know, hop profile, it's similar to like, you know, hazy IPA. And then you're throwing in a estery yeast, which often hazy IPA has. So I think there is a lot of parallels. And to me, those Saison and wit beers are always going to be more refreshing and enjoyable to drink personally. I mean, so
as a brewer, I think you respect wit beers and Saisons more.
Yeah.
So I feel like in the brewing community, we love it, but it's not sexy to the general public.
Yeah. So if you throw in like new school hops into those, you know,
I think you're on the right track there.
Yeah. So we got this New Zealand Saison, with Nelson and Motueka coming out.
Dude.
And it is hopped like a hazy, with a, you know,
funky farmhouse going on.
For sure.
Man, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, come down for that one.
Of course I will, dude.
Yeah.
So you have one last beer for us today.
Yes.
So I'm excited. What beer, Steven, have you brought today? That's what I want to know.
All right. So, you know, I was tasked to bring three beers that changed my life. And this one's kind of a stretch because I've never had this beer. I know. But there's a story behind it. And so this beer is from Von Ebert in Portland, Oregon. And the third beer I would have brought today is Fathead's Headhunter IPA. It's the best IPA in the game, hands down. You hear it here, but yeah, I love that beer. And Fathead's used to occupy Von Ebert. They had a West Coast brewery back in the day. And then, I don't know, things just didn't work out. I don't think, you know, people really got Fathead's aesthetic, which is like super Midwest to the max. And it just didn't fit in Portland, Oregon, I think, even though they make, I think, the best hoppy beer out there. So anyways, this beer, it kind of has some Fathead's ghosts in it, we'll call.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Do you need a bottle opener?
Yeah, you got one. I got you. Yeah. But this beer also is another style I really like, which is mixed culture beers. This is fooder aged, and it also has, what is this? It's got Riesling and Gewurztraminer grapes.
What?
I freaking love grapes in beer. I think that's like, they're the best thing ever. So
Chad has one upstairs.
Nice.
He uses his Chardonnay grapes.
Yeah.
That he grows in his own garden.
Oh, heck yeah. So yeah, we'll see what this is like.
Yeah, this is going to be funky. Look at that. Ooh. See, that's pretty colored. That's wine-esque right there. Man, Steven. And in the bottle, Dude, bring bottles back. That's all I gotta say.
Right. I was just reminiscing, like, back in the day, how many bombers I used to drink. Like, you know, nobody's putting out 22s anymore. And man, no. I used to drink so many bombers, like all the Lagunitas and Sierra Nevada bombers. And it was like, you can't find them anymore.
Man, dude.
But yeah, I don't know.
This is with love is what it's called.
Yeah, I think he made this for like one of a newborn or something. But yeah.
That's beautiful. Can't wait till I can dedicate a beer to someone, you know? I have a few ideas. Oh, yeah. Right there on musty nose. I love that.
Whoa. That's way funkier than I thought it was going to be.
Ooh. That grape sweetness at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's wine-esque, man.
I know. I think it really works.
This is bomb. I think this would be even better aged.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just me or do you get... Oh, you said it was in a fooder, huh?
Yeah,
I get aged. Woody.
Uh-huh.
So there, yeah, I guess I'm not insane.
Yeah, so this was a 2021 release. I picked this up earlier in, I think, May. So I agree with a little age on that. Things would kind of mellow out and...
But I like where the grapes are going, and I like... Yeah, it's got like a... Are you a wine guy at all?
I love wine.
So it has like a Riesling, like, palate to it, in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, it's slight bubbles.
I mean, to me, like, beer and wine are way more similar than I think people think.
Yeah.
Specifically with the, you know, different hop flavors. But, I really like grapes and beer. One of the first grape beers I like blew my mind was a Wicked Weed beer.
Wicked Weed
down in Asheville and
had marijuana in it.
No. Not that one. But this Wicked Weed beer was like, it was the same deal, like a mixed culture sour beer with Sepinon grapes in it, and it was like the most grape flavor thing I've ever tasted.
Really?
And I instantly was like, oh my gosh, like push it to the max. Like, and then the Onyo beers, you know, I just love that idea of blending these two different beverages and kind of,
Done well, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like an awesome art, like a canvas that you have and you put them together in this different medium.
Right. Yeah.
But I, this is the kind of, you know, like we're talking about sours earlier, like this isn't stomach acid. This is like the funky tartness that I'd rather have in the grape. Like that's the kind of sour, if you will.
Yeah.
I'd rather have this kind of sour.
It's so complex.
There's so much going on. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. So this isn't that Fatheads beer, but in a way it has, you know, some Fatheads. Sammy,
thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it.
In it. If you ever get the chance to try Headhunter, my favorite beer in the world, that is something you just gotta try. If you ever go to the land of the Midwest of Ohio.
Of Ohio, God.
You ever been?
I've been to Ohio. My grandmother used to live in Ohio.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember where in Ohio, but yes, I've been. I just remember it being cold, gloomy.
It's really gloomy.
And a lot of skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Wherever I went.
Yeah, some big cities.
I don't have a...
I think we're our most... our claim to fame is the month of February. Well, there's like 28 days, I think, right?
Okay.
I don't know, something like that. But there's... usually, historically, 2 days of sunshine in that month. Isn't that wild?
I couldn't do it. Yeah. I could not do it.
So then, you know, that's why I'm in Utah.
Yeah, where it could be winter in July or in October sometimes.
Right.
Whatever. Let's go to Santa Fe, dude. Let's go back.
Oh, man, for real.
So, Steven, I'm just enjoying this. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What's some words of advice you have for someone who wants to become a home brewer? For a current home brewer, someone who wants to become a brewer and a current brewer.
Yeah, everyone just has to try it, you know, just do it. I think people think that it's really complicated and the basics of it, it's not. It's, you know, there is quite a bit of equipment you need to have to do it, but maybe you got a friend or, you know, somebody you know who has the basics. And you just give it a whack and I think you'll catch the bug like everyone I know who has started doing it and they just want to do it all the time. And maybe that transitions into a career like it did for me. But I think just trying it and not worrying about failing, there's beers you're going to make that suck and you might suffer through it and drink it, or you freaking dump it and you move on to the next beer and you just keep going. I'm terrible at taking notes for beers. I do it really great at work, but at home, I just can't. And I wish I had over the past like 12 years to have that on paper. But, you know, I think, you know, learning from your mistakes, having your beer being tasted by as many people as you can who you respect, to get that feedback, and annoyingly keep having them try it is really important. You know, I like to bring beers I make at home and have Cody or Ross try them, or, you know, just to get it in front of other people to see what they say. But you got to try it. Just don't be scared. I love, you know, sharing that like joy with other people and having, you know, new people get in. Like when I worked at the Salt City, you know, seeing people get Christmas gifts where they get a bucket and an airlock, and like next week I see them in there and they're like, oh my gosh, I made this like jalapeno cream puff beer and it was awesome. And it's like, I need grain for the next batch. And it's like, heck yeah, that's it. You know, you're excited. I'm excited for you.
I think infectious in a way.
It is.
It's really cool. So what keeps your passion alive and, you know, working at Bewilder and still brewing?
I think I really want them to succeed. We were talking about it in the break, but, you know, compared to other breweries I've worked at, I'm directly right there with the face of the company. And like the owners, they have so much to invest in this. And I try so much harder, you know, because I want the whole thing to just blow up and be like, you know,
successful. Like,
yeah, successful. I want to bring that joy to everyone. But I really like the brewing in general. I love the like physical aspect of it. You know, you're working on your feet, you feel good, you feel productive, you're doing honest work, and you can come home and feel like you really made an impact. Looking out at the bar and seeing people have a great time and enjoy something that you had, you know, touched with your hands.
That's really cool.
And just love that, you know. It just keeps me going. And
so are we a forever brewer then?
Oh gosh, as long as my body lets me do it.
I mean, if not, they'll go in the lab, right? And that's what you said. But you would like to be in the industry as long as possible then.
It's a cool industry. It's really, there's just such a great community. And having, you know, brewed in Ohio and seen the community out here and come out to Utah, it's totally different. You know, it's way bigger out east, but the community here is really tight knit, and you know, I love that,
and it's beautiful,
and everybody's willing to help each other out
for sure.
So that is just, it's really cool. You know, we're all, yes, we're competition, but man, we're friends, and we want everybody to succeed.
When because, people win medals, I'm like, yes,
exactly.
Like, sure, I want a medal, but like,
right.
When my homies win, I'm like, fuck yeah. Yes.
You want everybody to do well, because as if we all do well, then it brings, you know, attention to the state and everyone here.
So we're going
to
see Steven at more social events, more, you know, brewer stuff, more
maybe,
stuff.
Maybe.
I feel like you have an awesome palate and an awesome opinion, and you are one of those awesome people in the industry that needs to be known, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, is this a chance to, you know, get you out of the house a little bit and come?
Yeah, maybe. I could be enticed.
Just be like, hey, come to Keto's real quick one day, you know, or not, you know, we have an event or something.
Right.
Come to these, you know, brewstilleries or festivals or whatever and you know, get to know some other people.
And that's,
dude.
You know, since I've only been here for a year and a half, it's still, everything's so new. And, you know, like this is the first time I've, you know, gone down south here to Hopkins. And, you know, that's a little embarrassing, but it's mostly because I, you know.
But you're welcome here, dude. Anytime.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. Let's go to Proper. Let's go to, you know, let's go to TF right now. Let's go to Fisher. Let's go to, you know, Toasted Barrel. Have you been to Toasted Barrel?
No.
Go check out their shit, dude. Yeah. It's awesome. It's really cool. And it's unknown. No one knows about it. No one talks about it. But they also don't come out and do stuff like be in the scene, because we have an awesome scene.
And I love that about, you know, with Cody and Ross, is they have so many friends around you know, being able to see people come into the brewery. And
you probably met a lot of them, dude.
Right. Yeah.
Because Bewilder is becoming like a Fisher, TF, Keto. It's like, you guys have great real estate. It's a lot of people go to Bewilder because you guys make good beer. It's a nice place to hang out and meet other brewers or other people that's passionate about the same craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you being in the industry, but in that location, it must be awesome, dude. You must be seeing some badass cool.
I really love looking out and seeing other like brewers, you know, hang out in the tap room. Because that means a lot.
Do you ever pick their brains? I remember every time I come in, I always come and see you, Steve. I'm like, listen, Steve, what's new? Talk to me.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I want to know what's going on.
Oh, for sure. I love talking to like what other people are making or like what, you know, like shit went down at their brewery and like just talking about like things that go wrong, because every place has that happen. And it's just fun.
It's a big family, dude. I love it.
Right.
It really is. What's some goals you have personally for you, Steven, 2022, and as a brewer?
Ooh, yeah. So, I definitely want to learn more in the lab part. It just really interests me. I think that, you know, if you know more about that, your beer can be better and definitely more consistent. So, you know, I think we can bring that into a small place like Bewilder, even without a giant expensive laboratory, you know, just having the understanding of, you know, some of that more intricate stuff. And, you know, so I would like to learn much more of that. And I hope to do that next year. But you know, we'll see.
Let's make it happen, dude.
Yeah.
And then as Steven, outside of Brewer Steven, what's a Steven goal, dude?
I think, you know, just really, I think putting some roots down and like, you know, expanding my community, you know, making the, just all that stuff click. You know, my wife and I, we hope to buy a house soon. Utah, kind of tough place right now to do that. But,
yeah, it is, dude. Come to Utah County.
yeah. But I think that's like a kind of a, you know, big life goal is for us to like have that and build off that and like really feel, you know, good about where.
I like that you said roots. That's one of the first words you said. And like that having a house is like, it's a big deal, dude.
Right.
It's a great, you know, I remember when Holly and I made, you know, got our house. It's like, fuck, we did it. Like, that's an adult thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, hey,
and as somebody who likes spending so much time at home, you know, doing all these projects, it's, I think, you know.
Make your home yours. That's your place, dude.
For sure.
And then when you invite people to your place, it's even more special.
Yeah.
It's not just an apartment or someone next door, your neighbors are just as loud. You know, it's like your place. You know?
Yeah.
But, Steven, what can I do? Here's another, like, double question I have for you. What can I do as a friend for you? What can I do as a brewer for you? And what can I do as Tastemasters for you?
Oh man. I mean, you're like the matchmaker. You know, this is like batch million and one, it seems like. So, you know, everybody, and you're so connected in the industry. And, you know, I think that, if I ever needed somebody like, hey, I'm having a problem with this, you'd be like, oh, I talked to so-and-so, you know, they had this problem. Like, hey, let's like, you know, connect you all. I think that's really cool to know somebody who knows everyone.
I don't know everyone. Yes, I mean, that's my goal. Like,
but I think that I could definitely hit you up on some stuff.
Yeah, dude, anytime. Yeah. I don't care. I mean, you can text me or call me at 3 a.m. I probably won't answer, but I'll get back to you as soon as possible. You know, and
I'm gonna do that.
If there's someone that I can introduce it to, like I already know people in Proper, I'm gonna introduce it to with that for lab. Sure. Like I already have the wheels going, but at the same time, like you got to come out and meet these people. Like, there's some cool people out here, dude. And we have great brewers. And I'm trying to get the distillers out here, too. The Pink Boots out there.
Yeah.
We have some cool collaborations happening. Kombucha, sake. I mean, what Jill and the crew over there are doing. Like, sake is awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you like sake, dude. Like, for Thanksgiving, I'm being sake wasted. And so that's what we're doing the first Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's just along this path that I've been going on. I don't know what. I keep thinking about, like, I don't know why I'm going on this path, but I get to meet cool people like you and people who are passionate in their own little way, and they have a story. Like, Steven, I had no idea that you played the trombone and you have a radio voice. You are, you know, we're at the parks. You have a beautiful wife. You are homebrewed thousands of times. Like, this is the stuff that people need to hear.
Right?
It's not just that guy who works at Bewilder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got a badass mustache. Great. But you have more than just a mustache. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the fact that you're bringing me, like, you know, Oscar Blues, Odell Brewing, like, you know, just, like, classic good beer.
Yeah.
And you appreciate that, and you like making it, and then you have a big-ass heart because you're helping Cody and Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you don't want to see them fail.
Right,
it's like,
yep.
Hell yeah, dude. No wonder every time I see you at Bewilder, you are working your ass off. Like, only time I see you stop is when you give me the time of day because I'm, like, basically having you stop for me. But, like, you're still doing things, man, and that's admirable. I look up to you in that way.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want to be able to put my heart out in a place that I love to work too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so thanks for reminding me that it's okay to put your heart into something that you work and love. And I love beer. I love brewing it. I love in this community.
Yep.
But yeah, dude, let me know whatever I can do to help because I'm there, dude. I'm there.
Right on. Yeah.
But yeah, with that being said, I hope you can come on again. We can do like absolutely. A Steven episode 2.
Ooh.
Or we got like another homebrew, Steven homebrew episode.
Oh, man. Yeah,
or
be cool.
Come co-host, dude. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about co-hosting?
Absolutely.
And anything you need. I need that radio voice.
Oh, yeah, I might have to like drop my low voice for you, but yeah.
Well, what's that?
Oh, wait. I don't know how low we can go, but
what was that? No, it was the what's your radio name?
Screaming Angle Stangle.
Screaming Angle Stangle. I love
I'm stangling the streets.
Oh my goodness, that's the best thing I've ever heard. But Stephen, again, thank you for your time on this Saturday morning. Trusting me to come down here in Hopkins, this awesome place. You know, I'm excited to show you more in this brewery.
Yeah,
more beers here. Yeah, just thanks, man. Thanks for being you.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. You know, I can't wait to get to know you more and everybody in the community. And yeah, it's just it's a great state. Dude. You know, I can't wait to see Utah just blow up and everybody.
You're
gonna
be a part of it, dude. Yep. You are a part of it. That's the cool thing about it is you are here.
Yeah,
like, you're here, dude.
It's way cool.
Yeah, we just barely is just grasp what Utah can do, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's not break. Let's keep going. But with that being said, Stephen, again, thank you. And I think we'll do it until the next beverage, my friends.
All right. Cheers, yeah, come see us.
And bye. Bewilder.
Yeah.
Go to Bewilder. It's like a subliminal message. Bewilder, Bewilder.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.